That's a Beethoven piece, his shortest. It's one of the Bagatelles in A major. Want to hear it again? It's 12 seconds long. It goes by pretty quickly. I bet you think nothing that lasts only 12 seconds could be boring. Oh, yeah? But still, 12 seconds is short for a piece of music. Very short. It's short for any piece of art. What about an 8-word story? Here's one by M. Stanley Bubian entitled The Great Depression.
Life, it keeps going and going and going.
Or this one entitled The Bad Idea.
Hey, that's a good idea. Let's copy it.
With short films now very much in fashion, there's a short film festival going on in New York this weekend. It's tempting to think about length and art, and of course the marketplace, which has barely any place for art that is very short, or very long, for that matter. In fact, it becomes downright difficult, once you start thinking about it, not to notice how conscribed is our sense of things with respect to time and length. So when someone like Beethoven, writing works both very short and very long, or Mahler, writing very long symphonies, or Joyce writing a very long novel, or E.E. Cummings writing a very short poem, when someone like that breaks through the set notions you have of things like that, it's a shock.
The first time that I noticed interest in art stretched in time was around 58, 59.
Jonas Mekas, filmmaker, writer, head of the Anthology Film Archives, became involved with new cinema in the 50s.
Myself, I'm tracing, connecting it with interest in conceptual art. Like, okay, now watch the cloud, let's say, until it begins to rain. So you never know, you can go and go. One single note stretched into 6 hours and more. I think the difference between short films and longer, and very long, maybe is that in a short form, short film, you want to reach the end and find out what happened there. In the long form, the what happens at the end becomes totally unimportant because it's so far away, so that it's the journey itself that becomes the important thing. And it becomes like a meditative activity. The changes are slight, very slight. So events are very minor, small, minimal. Dust on the film becomes also very important.
Dust on the film was of particular importance to Andy Warhol's film entitled Empire, which was photographed by Mekas in the early 60s. It consisted of one shot of the Empire State Building lasting 8 hours.
See, Andy is interested in certain essential public images that everybody sees every day, practically. So when myself and one of his assistants were walking and we noticed, sort of looking at Empire State Building, we joked among ourselves, oh, this would be a perfect image for Andy. So we told this to Andy, and he said, yes, yes, why not? And so I got a camera and a film, and one evening from the Time magazine building, like 44th floor, somewhere there, we set the cameras early in the evening. And I said, Andy, take a look. What do you think? He said, okay, go ahead. And all night we were eating our sandwiches there and drinking beer, and that's about it. The joke here connected this was we had at least 3-minute discussion. Should we film it sound or silent? We decided to do it silent.
So Empire was a film very much defined by its length. Mekas said they figured 8 hours was the minimum they needed to shoot in order to catch the full spectrum of light through the night into the day.
When we opened Empire for the first time, when we screened downtown at the City Hall Cinema, there were about 300 people, and they stayed, and they walked out, they ate, they drank, they came back.
Well, the longest project I've ever made is 30 minutes long, and it's really boring.
Robert Arnold makes shorts. He's represented in the current festival by a film called Triptych, which, a little like Empire, consists of one shot through a window. The 10-minute film plays games with the passage of time by splitting the frame into three sections and treating the sections separately.
But for me, it isn't length per se, but the duration of how I'm able to sustain, I think, the spectator's interest in the work I'm doing.
Unlike some who are using shorts as a stepping stone to longer films, Arnold is a confirmed short maker.
Basically, I would say I'm most interested in tinkering and problem solving. I guess the difference might be like a short story writer as opposed to a novelist. There are things that can be done in that form that interest me that cannot, in fact, be done in the other form.
I resist this notion of, you know, calling something a short.
Anne Boren is the director of the New York Exposition of Short Film and Video.
Why do we need to even define them as such? Why don't we just define them as, you know, I saw this fabulous film. It was only 5 minutes long, but my God, it took my breath away. I think some of the stronger shorts are those that create this fleeting moment. They focus on that. There's a beauty to the fleeting quality of it.
From 700 shorts submitted to the 34th New York Expo, 74 are being shown this weekend. Films lasting from 1 minute to 59 minutes and every length in between. And I suppose one would have to admit that the impulse to make a short film and the impulse to make a very long film are quite different. But they represent the same thing to the middle. They represent the extremes, and they keep enlightening us and teaching us things about how to look at and listen to and experience art. So long live the one-second film, the 8.5-hour opera by Gabriel von Weiditsch that the Guinness Book of World Records lists as the longest, the 8-word novel and the 12-second bagatelle and, intended or not, the minute waltz. In fact, Jonas Mekas takes it even further than that. He once famously wrote that if everyone could sit through the 8 hours of Empire, there would be no more wars.
I guess I wrote that in the Village Voice. If you can relax that much and accept unpredictable and unknown on that kind of Zen practically level, then of course you are not going to be violent. So there is something to that.
It's connected to nature, Mekas says.
I mean, it's like watching stars and galaxies, and they are being watched uninterruptedly by astronomers and us. Yes.
For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fischko.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.